His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." I'm just going to take this off.
Or it could have been that after returning from her visit with Elizabeth, she was no longer able to hide the signs of growing life within her. But however he found out, it had to feel like a blow. Betrothal back then wasn't like a modern-day engagement where all you need to do is return a ring and cancel your wedding plans. Betrothal was just as contractual as our marriages are today. It required a certificate of divorce. Their commitment was deep, and it was families coming together. But then, everything changed. Mary could explain as many times as she wanted that this child wasn't another man's. But who would believe that, right? It would be hard to believe. And Joseph may have been a righteous man, but he was a rational man. And so I'm sure it was hard for him. So she obviously was in a position where everyone around her was going to look at her with disdain, as if she'd had an affair, and it was going to be just a lot of public shame and scorn that they would face. The whole spectrum of emotions and explanations probably swirled into his mind, and he had a very human moment, where to him it may have felt very much like all the wheels were coming off his wonderful plan. Now, he could have brought her to trial to decide if she was a victim, or if she was a participant in prostitution, or had had an affair. All of these would have been things that were done by men of the time. He could have brought her out of her home, where she most likely lived with her parents, to be stoned in front of the entire community. That's just how dark these days were. These actions would have been within his rights, and nobody in the community would have blamed him. That's what people did for these kind of crimes in those days. This is not Luke's birth narrative. There are no angels singing in the sky or peaceful shepherds in a field. Although those things did happen, we're getting a real behind-the-scenes look at a scarier moment. Right now, there are no halos sitting over Mary's head. It's not the sanitized nativity scene that we usually see. It's a messy, chaotic, awkward, and hard nativity moment. And this is real life. How it often shows up. It often involves difficult decisions that are trade-offs from one thing to another. Destroyed reputations, deserved or not. Rumors spreading quickly. Hardship that can come at the worst possible time. And so it's interesting to note that Jesus did not come into a sanitized nativity scene where everything is perfect. Rather, Jesus came into this very messy, chaotic, and awkward, hard world that we live in today as well. And through ordinary people having to cope with ordinary feelings, but dealing with an extraordinary reality, a world-changing event, something that was going to change everything, and yet was like nothing they had ever experienced before. When you have to embrace something that big, it costs you something. Amen? You have to let go of your normal hopes and dreams to make room for something that's even bigger. And your mind and your heart have to get bigger to take in something that only God could conceive of. If you make it through that threshold and that time of trial, wow, there are those amazing angelic scenes to come. But in this moment, the Lord had to recruit everyone involved into this beautiful story, and everyone had to accept the amazing, unbelievable, and yet so believable aspects of this story. Well, if you're Joseph then, you understand that although you're a righteous man, you have a big decision to make. And you'd sit down and you'd go through all of your options, right? Now, most of us on that checklist would probably get somewhere else than Joseph did. But even though he was a normal, average person, he did not possess a normal, average heart. So it would have been easy for him to cry out for justice. It would have been easy for him to lash out at those around him. The feelings of betrayal could have blinded him. Have you ever been in a situation where someone else let you down and you were so upset that then you made a dumb decision after that because you were blinded by what the other person did? Joseph could have done that, and think about what's hanging in the balance. Marriage, in some ways, in the ancient world, was not the great grand love story that we think of today and all those Hallmark movies show us, you know, we should be aiming for. It was more an agreement of families. It was about survival. It was about moving forward. But as the date draws nearer and the couple gets to know each other better, there are feelings that form from that bond of trying to prepare for and build a life together. And so there still would have been so much potential disappointment. And he had a huge investment. Even to secure the possibility of this marriage, he had to be able to demonstrate that he was going to be able to provide a home for both of them. And he would have worked for a period of time to be able to do it. So he would have been able to do a divorce. He would have been able to do several different kinds of divorces, but one option would have been a quiet one that was just going to let this thing go by the wayside. And it could give Mary a chance to return to her parents' home without a lot of shame and scorn heaped on her. And so even among the human options that he was considering, he chose the most gracious option that he could for Mary. And so I'm thankful that he didn't go off half-cocked in this moment and even think about doing something that would burn it all down. Joseph's act of mercy shows us that though he's a man committed to Jewish law, he's also a person of mercy. And he clearly has love and care for Mary. And whether his feelings toward her are romantic or not, it's clear that he cares enough about her that he wants a good life for her. Well, sometimes we think about righteous as just always doing the morally correct thing. But in this case, righteousness goes so much deeper. That even in the midst of wanting to do what is right, He's also wanting to do what is loving. And so then we begin to see why God chose this man. Amen? And so God comes to Joseph in the midst of a dream and reveals things to him about what is to happen and what he can do. And so mercifully, God intervenes into the circumstances that they were dealing with. But still, it's just incredible news. Now, the world is still a messy place today. Can I get an amen for that? Things don't work out perfectly, right? And in the middle of trying to love our families, it's just never easy, is it? There are financial issues that we're sometimes concerned about. There's stepping on one another's toes. There's mistakes we made in the past that keep being brought up. There's just the fact that plans don't always line up and feelings can get hurt. And there's always more going on beneath the surface than we sometimes share with everyone around us. And so we say sometimes, Lord, bless this mess, right? Lord, please come in and make something out of this because I don't even know where to go with it. And then we can zoom out from just our own families and our own struggles. Even in America, children go to bed hungry every night. And we have the Food Bank of Northwest Indiana that tries to rule that out, tries to in every way reach to every family with food and resources to rise above the need. But still, kids fall through the cracks. Drugs are still a source of serious addiction. And so many families are touched by this. And then again, it's the same type of thing where once someone is involved in addiction, everybody else pulls back and looks with shame on the one who is dealing with that addiction, never closely examining the circumstances under which someone came under the influence of these chemicals. It could have been from a person of influence in their life, drawing them into it. It could have been in one weak moment where they felt the whole world crashing in and they just wanted the pain to go away. And one time they did something they thought they would never do. And now they are trapped in a cycle that threatens to snuff out their life. That's still a reality. And that's one of the reasons why we have a Narcotics Anonymous group that we allow to use our building every week. And they come in here on Monday nights and they work through their issues and they move toward healing and hope together. And then if we zoom out a little bit more, we still have this refugee crisis. We don't know what to do with it. There's so many people who have been displaced, so many people who want a shot at a better life, and it's difficult to manage, and sometimes we're coming down hard and closing doors, and other times we're opening them, and we don't know all that we're opening ourselves to. But still it's there, the human tragedies, and the children who are displaced. And we know that this too moves the heart of God. And then we know there are wars and rumors of wars, as there always have been. And there's poverty around the world. And so, in the midst of all of these kinds of problems, we have to figure out what Christmas means and what it is that Jesus came to bring and how it fits or makes a difference today. And really, if we avoid all of those other things, the one thing that's coming for everyone is the fact that death still happens. I've got extended family members. My former brother-in-law is about to pass away. There are broken relationships there, and the kids are trying to heal and be restored. And there's so much pain and confusion as they're trying to work it out in the last few days and hours of his life. And I'm seeing that pain, and I'm seeing them try to go through that. And from the distance where I am at this point, all I can do is pray. We know that death is a reality, and so we hear about life. We hear about the divinity of Jesus and all the power that he brings. We hear about resurrection. We hear about a new heaven and a new earth. But can we hold on to these things even as we face the serious realities behind us? It's just this real, the kind of world and the kind of circumstances into which Jesus is announced and begins to arrive. And we, just like Joseph, have to decide again, how are we going to respond to the brokenness that we experience in our own homes, to the pain that we see around the world, and to the news that Jesus has come and that he's coming again. Well, thankfully, God announces good news to Joseph. The text says that an angel comes to Joseph in a dream when he had resolved to divorce her, and when the decision had been made in his mind, God moved before he took that action. Joseph wakes up from the dream when he hears the news of all the miraculous things that were surrounding this birth and God's reassurance that it's okay for him to take Mary as his wife and that they can move forward together with God's full blessing. And it will bring not shame, but it will bring blessing for all eternity on every family. This was not a small thing for him to agree to, but it was something he could agree to because God had visited him in a special way. Having any child is a life-changing experience in a family. Can I get an amen? Life's never the same from that moment on. But if that baby is the Messiah, that baby is the one who's supposed to come into all of this mess and by his life and his death and his resurrection change everything and make healing and hope possible, well, wow, what would that do to any young couple? And then a young couple that has all this other stuff going on and these questions swirling around them. It surely wasn't going to be easy. But the call of God on Joseph's life was stronger than any of his fear. Amen? And his belief and faith in the power of God was stronger than his hesitation in this moment. Now, if Joseph had never known God before, if this was Joseph's first chance to even know about God and the possibilities of what he could do, I don't know if Joseph is able to make this choice, right? But he had some miles in with God. He had a track record with the Lord of trying to walk righteously with him and seeing God provide for his needs, perhaps even moving mountains from time to time. And so Joseph finds a way, by the grace of God, to believe. And in the dream, the angel gives him a name. It says to call his name, what is it again? Jesus. Jesus. And why Jesus? Because he will save his people from their sins. Now, I don't know exactly how that grabbed Joseph, but I think it was a great way for the angel to pitch this situation, because Joseph was feeling the weight of the effects of sin in the world and the shame and other things that might come upon them, even though they were sinless in these circumstances. But the angel said that Jesus would save his people from their sins. I think another way of looking at that is saying this, that Jesus would save his people from themselves. Amen? From all of the faulty thinking, from all of the selfish living, from all of the doubt in judging others from afar and from a distance. Jesus would come. Jesus. And save his people from their sins. This morning I want to say to you, that the angel is coming again. He's coming into your life. And whether it's a dream or a nightmare right now, I want you to hear those words, that God has been at work in these circumstances that have brought you to this moment. And you may not be able to see it. And even if in your case it's not miraculous circumstances, and maybe some of your own choices have brought the pain on yourself, just understand that God is big enough and loving enough and merciful enough that he has still been at work. Amen? He was at work in your life late last night. He was at work in your life while you slept. He was at work in your life this morning when you opened your eyes. And he is at work in your life right now. Amen? And I don't know what's happened in the last 24 hours or the last 12 hours for you, but you are in the presence of a loving and holy God this morning who wants everything good for you. And if you need a reminder of why, you just need to look at the story of Joseph and Mary. And you need to see how God wove together something so beautiful as a young and fragile couple in circumstances that looked pretty broken to everybody else came to trust God with their whole lives, with their future, and yes, with their sins. Emmanuel is the phrase that you spoke out a minute ago. That's a great one. And that's very true. That's another name for Jesus. What does it mean? It means, let's say this together, God with us. One more time. God with us. This morning, God is with us. He's with us in beautiful moments. He's with us in ugly moments. He's with us when everything seems to come together and when people share and hope and blessing go forward. But he's even present when people make selfish choices and they get hard with each other and difficulty enters in. But he's especially there when people choose the hard work of peace in the midst of conflict. When we're the ones to speak the truth in love to try to resolve any differences in a relationship, God is there. And Jesus has come anew and afresh to us to save his people from their sins, to save us from our sins, really to save all and any people who wish to be saved from their sins. That's really the only requirement, is that you know that you've sinned and you need to throw yourself on God's mercy. And you figured out that Jesus is the way to do that. It says in the Word, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen? So that means all of us have some unrighteousness to be cleansed. And so we come with humility and we continue to live with humility, knowing that in our brokenness, Jesus is coming to save us. So just as God invited Joseph into this story, we are gloriously invited to be written into this narrative. We have our own family stories where the grace and power of God is needed. Amen? How many of you need God to do some things in your family? Amen? How many of you believe that God can do those things? How many of you are all in this morning to say, Lord, do it. And I'm with you in bringing the peace, bringing the healing, and saving us all from our sins. This morning, where do you fit into God's story? There is a place for you, whether you figured it out yet or not. How will the good news flow through you this season? Flow through all of us in the days and hours that remain of this season. Call his name Jesus, the angel said. He will save his people from his sins. Emmanuel, God with us. That changes everything, even for you this morning. It changed Joseph forever. Thanks be to God. It changed Mary forever. Thanks be to God. And we can reach out to Jesus in a way we never could have, except that it changed their lives first. This morning, has it changed you? And is it changing others through you? Would you bow your heads? Father, there's nobody here this morning that can stand in judgment. There's nobody here this morning that can say anything but, God, I need you. I need your grace. I need your mercy. Father, there's also nobody here this morning who's beyond the reach of that grace and mercy and love. And nobody here this morning has an excuse not to reach out for it, because we all need it so much. But maybe at this time of year, maybe just now, with all of the reminders around us, Lord, we can lift our gaze above the chaos of the world, and we can see the power of this story. We can see the truth of who Jesus is, and we can open our hearts to all that he truly has for us. And this morning, I pray that you'll come in a way that's just as real for us as it was for Joseph, to say, it's okay. You can trust me in this moment. You can have faith in Jesus. You can move forward in that faith. You can and will be saved from your sins. This morning, if God is talking to you, and this story is coming alive for you in fresh ways, and you really want to hold on to that this morning with no one looking around, would you raise your hand and just take hold of it? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else this morning? He's saving us from our sins. He's reaching into our lives with an eternal hope. He's giving us power to rise above all the pain, all the doubt, all the fear, all the failures, and bringing hope and life and truth. Oh, I pray for everyone here that none of us will hold back and all of us will hold on to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for moving deeply in the lives of your people today. And thank you that you can indeed bless this mess and turn it into things that will change the world for others. I can't wait to see, because it's what you do best, Lord. I can't wait to see how your blessings are going to flow this week. But even if there are broken moments that lie in front of us, may they be moments we walk into with hope and faith as people of peace and love and mercy. And may you use that to save the world. And we ask it in Jesus' powerful name. And everybody said, let's stand together. We're going to gather down the hall now. If you can stay, we'll have some coffee together and a snack and talk just a little bit more about these themes together. And then, of course, on Tuesday night at 6 p.m., right here in this spot, we'll have our Christmas Eve.
Testing 1, 2.
I'm on. Oh, I got it muted, yeah. It'll be group 2, and it'll say Pastor Tim. It's like 6 or 7 in group 2. It says Pastor. Yeah. Testing 1, 2. Just as long as is it showing you a volume on the. Okay. I just want to know. No, I'm not muted. Just make sure I don't drop out. That's what I'm after. All right, I'm going to move around. You got to tell me. Solid? Still solid? Still solid? Still solid? Yeah, because it's whatever is messing it up, it's trying to find it. Did it blink? Did it blink since we've changed it? Solid, solid, solid. I don't know if they got something wound up under the stage that's creating something. Well, that's what it is. Something's stealing it. I'm fine right here.
Yep.
No blinking. Just watch the green light. That's what I need to know. Because he says when he stands here and he goes here, it'll go out. Testing 1, 2, test 1, 2. Hello, hello, hello. Hello, 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 hello. Even when I mute this, you still stay green up there, so. Now I'm back on. Testing 1, 2, 1, 2, maybe. Maybe that's what I have to do is go to that different group.
Yeah, maybe that's all it was. Maybe there's just something interfering with
me. But it all started all of a sudden, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, let's try a different channel.
The only thing is I got to change the channel here. It's just the fun part. I'm going to shut this off. Testing 1, 2.
It's going to be really hot because I was pushing it. Well, I'm going to go pack up my gift bill.
Testing 1, 2. Test, 1, 2.